format today. So if you could help me, if some of you could help me, there is something that I want to speak on. And I want to talk about longevity this morning. And there is a scripture that says, I have run the race, I have fought the good fight. If somebody could find that for me so I can turn to it. And the reason that I want to go this route today is because last night I had the privilege and honor of celebrating my bishop. Thank you. Thank you so much. I had the privilege of celebrating my bishop, Bishop Isaiah Kennedy, and his 90-year birthday. Amen. And I will be very honest and say that, you know, they were worried about, you know, how many people were going to be there. And I was saying, you know, y'all worrying about all of these seats and stuff, and, you know, people aren't going to show up like that. But at the end of the day, about 75 to 80 people showed up to say happy birthday, to say you meant something, you mean something to my life. And I was sitting there and I was watching him, and he was not boisterous, he was not braggadocious, he was very humbled. But the main thing that I saw on my bishop was he was thinking about the next time he's going to preach. He was thinking about how he, in this crowd, could serve the Lord. And he was just sitting there. Everybody was throwing all of these compliments and all of that. But he was just sitting there, and you could tell that he had a plan, he had a mission, he had something on his mind. I'm going to actually start at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. And because as soon as I turned to this in my iPad, thank you, Pastor Sonia, this is for him, amen. And I think that we should all be striving to get to this point. And the Apostle Paul says in chapter 4, verse number 6, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." In the 21st century westernized church, one of the biggest problems is that we have not learned to love his appearing. Somehow, some way, God has to become important in the churches first again. Can I say that again? God has to become important in the churches first again. Somehow, some way, through the vows of time, we have made the praise team the most important thing in the church. We have made our media shows and our websites and our and our sanctuaries and all of these different things the most important part of the church. This is what we talk about. We talk about, you know, when we tell people about our church, we talk about the children's church and the youth group and all of that. And we're telling a failing world about people. People who at any time, on the right day, wrong day, could fail. But maybe we would pack the house a little easier if we began to talk about, we preach Jesus there. Jesus is lifted up on every Sunday. We teach a real gospel, the gospel of our Savior, Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then when they get here and they get to see all the, because everything else is just amenities, but the main dish, everything else is appetizers and dessert, but the main dish, the thing that's going to leave you full when you leave the building is that you was fed Jesus. At 90 years old, Bishop Isaiah Kennedy, it doesn't matter where you see him. It could be the Walmart. It could be the bank. It could be just him sitting over in a parking lot because he just felt like he couldn't make it to his next destination. So he took him a little nap, and you stop and you check on him. And before you leave his presence, he's going to give you a word. 15 to 20 minutes, he's going to preach to you. He's not going to let you go. And you're going to leave wondering, at that age, haven't you studied enough? At that age, haven't you preached enough? At that age, haven't you talked about God enough? I mean, why don't you, I mean, you've lost your wife. You know what I'm saying? Things have been crazy in your life. Why don't you just relax the rest of it? And all he has on his mind to talk about is Jesus. For I am being poured out as a drink offering. And if we ever going to be effective in this, in the church realm today, we're going to have to be willing to be poured out. We're going to have to be willing to give up our time. We're going to have to be willing to go through some things, be inconvenienced, not catch every show that we like on TV. We're going to have to be able to wake up at 2-3 o'clock in the morning and talk to somebody about a Jesus that can save their soul when they're on the brink of suicide. He says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. And then he says, I have fought the good fight. Now, listen, I don't know about nobody else in here, but if I am blessed to know that my days are dwindling down and that the Lord is about to come for me, what I want to know is I have fought the good fight. As I'm looking back, if I'm laying in my recliner or laying back on my, or like my precious grandmother, Grandma Dora, she got out of the bed, laid in her favorite chair, laid her head back on her pillow, and went on to glory. I want to know while I'm in that recliner, while I'm in that chair, while I'm in that bed, I want to know that as I look back over my life, that I can say, you want to be able to say that you fought the good fight, that you remained righteous in the midst of it all, that you didn't compromise holiness, you didn't compromise the precious gift of the gospel. And so he says, I have fought the good fight and I have finished the race and I have watched this. This is what blew my mind. He says, I have kept the faith. And as I looked at Bishop Kennedy, I sat there and I looked at a man who had kept the faith, and his children were there and his grandchildren are there and his great grandchildren were there, all because he had kept the faith. I want you to understand, keeping the faith is the most important thing, though he names it last in this, in his lineup here. But it's the most important thing, because if you don't keep the faith, you can't keep Jesus. I want you to understand, you're going to have to get rid of everything else and keep the faith. And I want you to understand this, everything is battling for your faith. Everything is battling for your faith. You understand what I'm saying to you? And this is why you get hit on every hand. It isn't because you special. It ain't because you all that in the bag of chips. It ain't because you called it. It is battling for your faith, because if I can knock your faith out of alignment, I can knock you out of alignment, and then that one won't get saved, and then that one won't get saved, and then that one won't get saved. So Satan is saying, everything I'm doing is to come up against your faith, because once I can make you not believe. Once I can make you question God. Truth be told, I hear you, Holy Ghost. Once I make you, see, because I want you to catch this. Once you begin to question God, God has lost power in your life. Now you find yourself, you ever been swimming and and dove down. And you might have, you know, when we was kids, we just get in, jump in, get back out, jump in, get back out. They tell you don't do that, right? And then all of a sudden you lose your strength. That's how it is when you begin to question God, you lose your strength. And what happens is you begin to flail all through the water, and there is nothing there to grab hold to, and there is nothing there to pull you up, and there is nothing there to pull you out. And that's how we do. We begin to, after we lose faith in God, we begin to try to fix things ourselves. We begin to become desperate. We begin to do this. We begin to say that. We begin to lie on God, even though we don't believe in God. God told me to tell you, or God, you know, you understand what I'm saying to you. But what Paul's saying here is, in the midst of everything that's going on, keep the faith. Woo! Keep the faith. That's what you got to do. And so in order to keep the faith, there's some things that you've got to keep out. And in order to keep the faith, there's going to be some things that you're going to have to get away from, get rid of, clean out your closet. Because watch this, that and faith can exist in the same compartment. Paul says, I don't mind nothing that I've been through. They talked about last night. They said that he would rent a bus, and it was before people that knew him way longer than me, and parents would purposely not give their children money because they knew that he wasn't gonna see them hungry. He said they used to say that I kept them out in revivals in different parts of the county or the state or even out of state. He says and I'd have them. He says, you know, and he keep them out of school. He said, But my wife, because she was a statistical genius, and she found out that the kids that was going on revival in the middle of the week and all of that was doing better than the kids that wasn't in church. He said, I loved them even when they beat me. Even when they didn't love me. And I want you to understand, beloved, you're going to have to get to this point where you get out of your feelings if you're going to actually walk in an effectiveness for the kingdom of God. You can't be worried about what people are going to say about you. They're going to talk about you. Jesus said, if they hated you, they hated me first. If they hate you, good. You're on the right path. A Christian means like Christ. And how you gonna be like me and everybody like you? We didn't sign up for this to be liked. We signed up to be effective. We signed up to save souls. We signed up to see people break through. We didn't sign up to be popular. And so there's rules to this. There's levels to this. And if at the end of your day, and when your time, when your eyes are beginning to draw in closer to low and shut, you and you're going to be able to say, well, I fought the good fight. There's going to have to be levels in this season of your life. There's going to have to be rules in this season of your life. There is a word in this season of your life that you must keep so that at the end of it, you can say, I kept the faith. Lord, have mercy. There's a scripture. Somebody help me find it. It says, and walk worthy of the call. Oh, God. He says, walk worthy of the call. Ephesians 4:1. Okay. Ephesians 4:1. He said, amen. Hey. Okay, he says here, it says right here, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness and long suffering. Watch this, bearing with one another in love. Now, this is powerful, and we're going to get back to it. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord and one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now, I'm going to go back up here. He says, listen, I want you to understand about, because y'all keep on thinking Christianity is supposed to be easy. He said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Watch this. So he's writing this in prison, but he understands who's got him in prison. Oh, God. He's writing this in prison, but he understands who's got. He says, listen, they think they got me chained up. They think they done stopped me. They think they got me, because prison back then wasn't necessarily, you know, you sitting on bars. But oftentimes when you were in prison and in this culture in this time, you would be on the wall like this. And Paul would just sit there and preach 24/7. He would preach to the point to where in the palace guard, to where people would sit back and go home and tell their family what they heard. And how does he sit there broken? How does he sit there restrained? How does he sit there locked up preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ? You're going to have to learn how to preach gospel. You're going to have to learn how to preach Jesus when it hurt. You're going to have to learn how to preach Jesus when you ain't got your light bill. You're going to have to learn how to preach Jesus when your life is a wreck and a shambles and your marriage is on the rocks and your kids is 10 times crazy. You're going to have to learn how to preach Jesus in all of that. He said, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord. They ain't got me. Who does that sound like? Remember a time when Jesus was talking to Pilate, and Pilate said, do you know that I have the power to yada, yada, yada? And this, that was the only thing that made Jesus open his mouth. He said, hold on, bro, you ain't got the power to do nothing. Don't you get, I halfway like you. Don't you, you're having a hard time doing what you're doing to me, but let me get you straight about this. You don't have the power to do anything. You understand what I'm saying to you? Can I just go ahead and let y'all know right now, for some of y'all, they didn't kill him. We hear that, you know, people talk about, they killed our Lord. They didn't kill him. He laid his life down. Lord have mercy. He says, I beseech you, which means I encourage you. I strongly suggest, I'm going to need you to, watch this, to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. And we read that and people like to go, well, I ain't got to worry about that because I wasn't called to anything. Yes, you was. You was called to be his child. Sons and daughters. You don't have any less importance than us, than Pastor Gross, Pastor Lyons, Minister soon to be Pastor Larissa. You don't have any. Y'all not any lower than us. He says, listen, and this call, watch this. He says, I want you to understand that this call is about something. Oh God, notice the wordplay. I need you to walk worthy of the call. Oh Lord. I need you to act like you know. I need you to act like you know that the worth of this. And even if you can't tap into the worth of it, I need you to know that you know it's bigger than you. Oh God. And it's bigger than anybody that you're gonna run into. And so I'm gonna need you to operate like you got some sense. Amen. We talked about this, what was it, Sunday, Wednesday? I asked the question, ain't you tired of people just playing games with this Jesus? Just playing games with this Jesus. No, we need to walk. And could you imagine how powerful the Unity Worship Center would be if everybody walked like they understood the call? Well, I don't understand the call. That's your fault. It's all in the Bible. It's all in the Bible. Everybody got one. You got them on your phones. You get them free on your phones even. Yeah. Amen. And he says, with lowliness and gentleness. Quit thinking you all that. Well, how in the world do we come in the church and be bougie about a gospel that ain't ours? How do you get cute about a story that's not your own? How are you going to get stuck up and think you're better than about dealing with a gospel that in all actuality, you was nowhere on the cross? So then, you know, they lucky. I could talk about me being late. They better be glad I was here. No. You better be glad there was a here for you to be with the mentality that you've got. You understand what I'm saying to you? He says, you need to do this with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering. And here's the one, get this one, bearing with one another in love. See, because, Paige might not be as strong as Sonia. And we got to get out of this thing of when our brothers and sisters in Christ are going through, they getting on my nerves. You're supposed to bear that with them. Their very salvation is dwindling on it. If he called me one more time, man, I mean, I don't know how many more times did it take to tell you? Huh? And you said, well, it didn't take me that long. Well, that's because you ain't got there yet. Because if you had got there, then you'd be able to bear with one another whatever afflictions they're going through. Now I understand, you got to understand when people are just looking for some attention. But when somebody is going through a breakup, a divorce, a death in the family, let me tell you, let me just go ahead and put this out here. Nobody marries to divorce. That's a wreck. That is an actual wreck that happens. You understand what I'm saying to you? So when he or she is going through it after the divorce, and it don't make no matter, never mind who was at fault. Because I believe that in that procedure, somebody remembers why they were one in the first place. Your mama been dead for 4 months now. I mean, golly, you ought to be able to chill. Oh my God. We're not only are we not Christians with that mentality, we're not even friends. We're not even friends. You understand what I'm saying to you? And I'm pretty sure that in one way or another, all of us in this building have been guilty of it. You know, they getting on my nerves, but they're not in sin. They're hurting. And if they are in sin, maybe they're stuck in it because was it easy for you to walk away from? I always won't call bogus on the person that sits back and tells me, when I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, it was just over. You're lying. It wasn't just over. Might have been when it started, but it wasn't over. And when it started, watch this. How many times have you started something that you went back on? So he says, listen here, with all gentleness and with longsuffering, bearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Let me tell you something, shouldn't be no tighter group of people than the people in this building. In unity. Now watch this. And so when someone comes and says something about your brother or sister, such and such group, you should be able to unequivocally be like, that's a lie. Can I go ahead and bless the brothers and sisters and tell y'all something? When we defend you, we're going to need you to be right. we're going to need you to be right. When I defend you, when I sit up and say, yeah, I know you lying about that because, that relationship, not because I'm their pastor, not because they go to the Unity Worship Center, not because they got a title in the church, but because their relationship with God is so strong. I know you lying. Guess what? I bet not be. Yeah, because if I find out that, we got to have a talk. You gotta come back and like, man, I said, I vouched for you. I called them out for you. You see. So this whole thing right here, let me tell you something. This is the last place that the rumor mill should exist. You hear me? Carla ought to be able to pull Sherry and say, look, I know I don't know you, but I see the Spirit of the Lord on you, and here's what I'm going through, and I just feel like if you could just pray for me and give me some strength, I would truly appreciate it. You understand what I'm saying to you? And watch this, and when Carla walks away, and after she done told Sherry her business, she shouldn't be even concerned that it's going to be outside of Sherry and Carla. You understand what I'm saying to you? But we walk around here broke down, defeated, ready on the verge of giving up, simply on the strength of I can't trust anybody to talk to somebody, and now Satan is having his way with me because I'm in a room of believers that I don't trust. Isn't that amazing? I'm in a room of believers that I can't trust. Thus, I am constantly becoming a victim to what it is that I'm going through. So in short, I tell you, I don't even know how to do Sunday school. Amen. I preach everything I do. So I want to say this to you. Bishop Kennedy is 90 years old yesterday. There were 75 to 80 people there to show him love. The mayor of Richmond drove from North Carolina just to say happy birthday. He was at an event in North Carolina, and he just came to say well done. The Hawkins Funeral Home, John Taylor just walks in out of the blue. I'm going like, what is John doing? You know, that's our guy. And he's like, he's a legend. He's a legend. He never, they told stories, Pastor, of he would come out of the pulpit in a suit, Lord have mercy, and get up under the car and make sure that you got home after he got done. You know how many preachers you know gonna touch a car on Tuesday? Let alone right after getting out of the pulpit. What's the gist of this, Pastor? And I got to get out of here. Listen, here's the gist of it. On your day when the Lord is calling you home, you want to be able to be with your family and smile and say, I have fought the good fight. I might have 99 problems, but where I'm headed ain't one. We went to Pastor Sherry's brother's homegoing, and we got there, and Miriam got to, you know, she said, he's smiling. They didn't fix his face. He's smiling. Because he had long ago made his calling and election sure. And as a result, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, he was good with it. You want to be good with it. You want to know that you left a legacy. You left the Spirit of the Lord in your children, in your grandchildren. You want to know that your great-grandchildren gonna be all right on the strength of how you lived your life. You should live your life so saved and sold out that your kids just draw to it. Just draw to it. It don't mean they ain't gonna go through some things. They ain't gonna mean they ain't gonna suffer some problems. They ain't gonna mean they ain't gonna smell themselves and have to get checked every now and again. But at the end of the day, they should be like, man, Jesus, let me tell y'all something, and I got to get out of here. The other night, my grandson had a birthday party, and some of you in here know the turmoil that my son and I have been through, my oldest son. And the kids were playing, and it was winding down. They was just, you know, now we just giving money away to make them go away. And Noah was sleeping in Malika's arms, and Jordan was sleeping in my arms, and my kids begin to ask me questions about life. Ain't talked to me straight up since I've been home from prison. But they began that night to ask me questions about life. And what do you think about this? And there was emotion in this conversation. My son and my daughter, they were in tears in certain facets of the conversation. And all I could do, and they was receiving the wisdom that I was giving to them. And the Lord says, I'm giving them back to you. Do something with it. Deposit into them. I want you to know, I don't care how you messed up, how you might have felt like you dropped the ball, there is a transformation the Bible talks about that can happen on the inside of your soul, that people that ain't talked to you in years can walk up on you and know everything about you is different. Yeah. Fight the good fight. I promise you it will be worth it. Fight the good fight. Say no to what needs to be said no to. Always say yes to what needs to be said yes to. Don't lie. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't play games about this thing. Fight the good fight. and walk worthy of the calling. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor.